Welcome to the Wise Life Podcast. My name's Dina Morris and I'm a yoga teacher and hypnotherapist here to help you get the best out of life, sharing tools, tips and tactics for powerful aging with wisdom and joy. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Wise Life Podcast. So, going back to the past episode, we were talking about escaping from procrastination. We talked about how serendipity isn't coming calling and the law of attraction is just going to ignore us unless we take action. So how do we take action when we're playing host to Miss Procrastination and her little pal, let's just lie on the sofa and watch television and tell ourselves that this is so much less boring than doing what we need to do? Well, whenever that little voice tells us that, oh, this is so much less boring than what it is we know we need to do, or you know you want to do this, but are you sure you're good enough? Do you need to do more training? Do you think maybe it would be more interesting if you just filed your books in alphabetical order? Anything that stops you taking action, and you can hear that little voice in your head chirping away, undermining you, that's your emotions getting in front of your desire to choose to take action. Now, emotions are a wonderful thing, and I'm sure we've all heard many, many times over how we're supposed to see our emotions as flags, and they just wave to us, telling us that something is going on, and we should look at the flag and observe each flag and say, oh yeah, we're happy, or oh yeah, we're sad. And not just look at the flag, pick the flag up, wave it around as if it's the biggest, brightest thing that we've ever seen, jump on the flag, wrap ourselves up in the flag, and just generally be led by the flag, whether the flag be happiness or unhappiness. Recognizing that you're having a thought in your head which is related to an emotion is in itself a big step forward. Lots of people canter through life being driven by their emotions with absolutely no recognition that that's what's going on with them. And some people think being led by their emotions is the perfect way to live. It's an argument, I guess, that being led by your emotions is an exciting way to live, but it's very difficult to get anything planned if your emotions are going to dictate to you whether or not you get anything done. Of course, there are many different types of procrastination. There's the procrastination where we literally just stop still and lie in front of the television and just mainline Netflix until we can see no more, or maybe play our favorite video game, which, you know, 5 minutes, fair enough. 2, 4, 5 hours later, got to ask where this is leading, really, other than satisfying the senses. There's other kinds of procrastination. There's the rather than do what I need to do, I'm going to do something else instead. My favorite type of procrastination for something like this might be going to look for a book for a friend on a bookshelf, suddenly noticing that the books aren't in order, taking the books off the bookshelf and putting them all back in my case, not only in alphabetical order, but in subject sectional order as well. Because yeah, I'm a big book nerd, but I also like to be able to find books when I'm looking for them. And nothing makes me happier than making things neat and tidy. It's my personal go-to for procrastinating. Love it. So there's the sitting down, doing nothing kind of procrastination. There's the milling around, ordering things for no particular reason other than it satisfies an emotional need and it looks like you're doing something, But it's just procrastination in a different frock, truth be told. So why do we do these things? Well, as I've just mentioned, it satisfies an emotional need. And that's fine, but do your emotional needs need to be getting in the way of what you truly want to get done? And that's a dilemma, isn't it? One of the many wonderful things that come out of the study of Vedanta as a philosophy is the idea of the intellect and its development, and how we do that by freeing ourselves from the drivers of our emotions. So for anyone who has spent time standing in front of an open fridge, aware of the fact that they're not hungry, but they're looking for something to eat in there to satisfy an emotional need, this episode might hold some ideas for you too. How do we get free of our emotions? Well, that is the rub, isn't it? Developing the intellect allows us to make choices informed by our emotions, but not driven by them. Now, why we're not taught this in school, I do not know. We're taught lots and lots of information, but if we're unable to apply it because we're too busy self-medicating with our emotional drivers, then what's the point other than to sit in jobs helping other people make money? And you may say, but I love being happy. I don't like being sad, but I love being happy. I love how food makes me feel. I love snuggling up on the sofa and binging on Netflix rather than applying for that job, which I think might be just a wonderful experience, but I'm really at the bottom of it, fearful of rejection and somebody telling me that I'm just not good enough. If you love your comfort and feeling safe, I absolutely get that. But there is a really interesting and I think quite magical analogy in the introduction to the Upanishads in, and I'm going to probably mispronounce this poor man's name really, really badly, but Eknath Iswaran's The Upanishads translation has this really lovely analogy within it. In the intro, and he talks about how being with our desires is like being snuggled up in a winter's day by a huge fire. It's all cozy, it's all warm, you can see the snow outside, but when you look out the window, you can see the birds, you can see them flying. You can see them carrying little bits of twig in their beaks, and they look so free and alive. The stepping away from the fire and the warmth and the comfort of inertia and being driven by your emotions is not an easy step to take, and it takes practice, and it will feel uncomfortable to start with. But the reward is that freedom from your emotions. So that is why this little practice, short though it is, I believe is worth persevering with. If you have a drive to succeed and you find your inner voice, your inner critic, your inner mean girl, or even your inner I'm just trying to help you girl or boy is a little bit vocal and more vocal than you would like, this practice is a really useful way of getting some emotional distance between you and what happens to you. Now, I didn't invent this. It doesn't come from any psychology book, as far as I'm aware, unless, like me, somebody has sat in a philosophy class and thought, this is really useful. It's really useful because it allows you to see your day without all the emotions in the day. And it allows you to get some idea of how much of your day involves that mental commentary. And then seeing your day without it gives you massive perspective as to what your day is really about without all that emotional commentary going on. So this practice comes from Vedanta, which is a school of philosophy from India. Fascinating, really worthwhile studying, and the Vedanta Institute is all over the world. They have a base in London, and if you want to explore them in more detail, I would highly recommend. They run online classes which are free and an absolute joy. This practice I came across in one of the introductory courses that they run in Vedanta, and it's a way of helping you get some distance between your emotions and your actual activity. The idea is to help you build your intellect. Now, by intellect, we're not talking about your intelligence. It's got nothing to do with your IQ. It's about giving you the ability to make sensible choices for yourself, which aren't driven by your emotions. So your choice isn't driven by either your need to make yourself feel good or your need to avoid something because it feels too challenging for you. This practice is one that you should do in the evenings. It takes a very short amount of time, and one of the side effects of it, which I would say is a big plus, side effect with a big plus, there you go. Now there's a serendipity, is that it also helps you get to sleep as well. So what do you do? Okay, the practice is to take a little run through the day that you've just experienced. And all you do is run through your day, but without applying any self-talk or any self-commentary and without any emotional tagging either. So for example, if it were my day, it would be, I got up, I walked into the living room, through to the kitchen, got myself a glass of water, went through my morning ritual, went to clean my teeth, got dressed, started my working day. So you can see what's going on here. It's not, I got up, I felt so tired, why can I never get up and feel as bright and breezy as I used to? I walked through to the living room thinking, oh, I can't believe I've got another day ahead of me. It's only Tuesday. How I wish it was Saturday. Oh, I wonder what's for breakfast. Oh, yummy, there's that in the fridge. None of that. Just a simple plotting of your day, stripping out all the commentary, stripping out all the self-talk, like, you know, looking in the mirror and making some judgments about your own appearance. None of that. And then I was at work and she said to me and I said to her, and then I bet she was thinking this. None of that chatter at all. Just a plotting of your day. Now, the practice does a couple of things. It allows you to get some perspective, a stepping back of what you actually did. And it also means that just before you go to sleep, you're doing a tracking of your day, which is quite soothing for the mind. And I don't know, maybe my days have been pretty boring recently, but I've found that it's really hard to get through a plotting of your day without falling asleep before you get to lunchtime. So if you're having any kind of insomnia issues, you might want to see if it helps with that. And whether it helps keep you asleep during the night as well, because for your mind, you've already done a little recollection of your day. So your mind knows that you've gone through that once and there's been no high drama because you've just talked yourself through it in a very calm, pragmatic manner. So I do hope that makes some sense. And if you want to try it and see if it works for you, then please do. And if you've got any feedback on it, I'd love to hear from you. And you can DM me at Instagram at dina.morris, or drop me an email, and all my details are on the website. Now, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, this little practice is something that I've been working with clients on for a while now, because I found it was really useful for getting some emotional distance. And for people who are managing stress, it can be really beneficial. I tried it with my Facebook group, Yoga with Dina, and I've had some really positive feedback from the people in that group who have tried it and asked if I would share it with other groups as well, because they found it so useful. I hope you do too, and if you can feedback to me and let me know how you get on, that would be brilliant. And talking of Yoga with Dina, if you are a midlife woman who's feeling some stress at the moment, I should at this point flag that I've got an online workshop coming up at the end of June, which could be just for you. And I've just called it a workshop, and it's not, it's a mini retreat. So it's, yeah, workshop. It sounds a bit intense, doesn't it? And it's not at all. This is a lovely 3 hours of being together, working through some postures, breath practices, meditations, and some ideas around how we can support ourselves as we move through that perimenopause to postmenopause and beyond space, looking at ways we can support ourselves and relieve some of the stress that is involved when our hormones start flying all over the place. So if that's something that you're interested in, then there are details on my website, and there's links on my Instagram and Facebook as well. And I'll try and remember to pop one in the notes that go with this podcast. All right, thanks a lot. I hope you all have wonderful weeks. Take care, be well. And here we are at the end of another edition of the Wise Life podcast. If you found this content useful, I would be very grateful if you could support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating. And if you've got the time, a review would be amazing. And please, if you have suggestions for podcast topics, I'd love to hear them. Just DM me on Instagram at dina.morris, and have a great week.